thanks for your prayers and support over the last couple of weeks. And those who know that my brother passed away because of drugs. That was the second brother that we lost as a result of HIV/AIDS. And, you know, watching young people, they were 14 when they went on drugs. One died at 31, one died at 46, my last brother just there. And to see that they never lived, they never seen outside, I don't think they seen outside of Dalton's Barn. They never certainly seen another country. And that's why these jobs and these roles are so important. That, like, God is in the business of giving life, giving future, giving hope, helping people reach their potential. And our prayers, you know, I just pray that God burns these ministries into our hearts. That we're praying that these are the most successful ministries in the country of reaching young men and women. We've seen Judge Gillian Hussey that time on the video saying prison's not the answer. And she has seen particularly a young girl that she was sentencing. And instead of getting sentenced, she got sentenced to teen challenge. And I was at a meeting one time and Judge Gillian Hussey was sharing about this girl. And saying that she could see what Jesus had done in this girl's life. Unbelievable. Only in the kingdom of God can these things happen. God will turn lives around because he's in the business of doing that. I want to turn your attention to our series that we've been doing over the last while called Running on Empty. And actually, Running on Empty series is nearly running out. I'm nearly running on empty with the series. And there's always a time to finish a series because it can go over into being bored and stuff like that. But there's lots to say on the Bible. There's lots to say from the Bible on the podcast that we've already preached already on this. And if you want to get on the website, you can get on that, www.libertychurch.ie. Sounds like an advert on telly, but there you go. But you know, if you're turning your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18, talking about the life of a prophet called Elijah. Elijah was one of the most feared prophets of the Old Testament. He heard God, he acted on what God said, and he seen the results. That's the recipe to seeing God move in your life. Hear what he says in the Word of God, act on what he says, and you will see the results in your life. Elijah, up to this point, he's getting brought to a place where he was going to depend on God in such a way that he'd never even had depended on God before. In fact, Elijah was on his way to being really, really empty or emptied. And in all of it, it was God who was emptying him. When you read it, you go, man, God led him to this point. And the man feels so empty that he wanted to die. And that's the sermon that we're going to finish the series on, but I want to back up a little bit. But just to preface it by saying that God brings us to a place of empty. That when we realize our own strength is not enough, our own ingenuity is not enough, our own scheming and scamming is not enough, our own intellect is not enough to get us out of some heart problems. And he brings us to that place. And I tell you what, he loves us enough to bring us into a desert, into a dry place, to get that into us and out of us. So if you're in a dry place, if you're in a desert place, if you don't know what's going on, and you're still walking with God, you're in a good position. Well, here's Elijah. Just prior to chapter 18, he had been led to call a drought on the land because the land was being run by Ahab, who's the king, and his cohort Jezebel, who was being inspired by hell itself. And the people of God had turned away from God, and God wanted to speak to them. And Elijah stands up and he says, "At my word, there's going to be no rain." And he says, "At my word, will the rain come back again?" Amazing that that's the power and authority of the people that the people of God can have. It's not going to happen anymore. That's what we need to be doing in our homes, standing in our homes when things are coming against us as the person of God. This is not coming into my home anymore. This is not going to happen in my life anymore. And you take your stand until I say so. And hopefully you never say so. And then he starts going on the move. God led him to go to a place where he was fed by ravens. Imagine there was a drought, a famine in the land. And he says, I want you to go down by the brook and I'm going to send waiters by every day to drop your food down. And ravens would come by and drop the food for Elijah every day. And then God dried up the brook and then he moved on. And he moved on to see the power of God where a woman had only a little bit of flour and oil. And he says, if you give that to me, God will bless you over and abundant. And the woman only had enough to eat that day and for her and her son to die. And he says, but if you give me it, God will cause a miracle. So he was stepping up in faith. And as a result, she had to step up in faith. And she didn't die. And she seen the power of God. And then Elijah gets led to the place where he was on the run from Jezebel and Ahab. And he says, now, Elijah, I want you to go back and show yourself to these. But look, he was a man. Well, I'm not going back to them. They're going to kill me. I'm the one that caused all this to happen at your word. So he went and showed himself again. And he challenged Ahab to get all of the false prophets that were worshipping false gods and bring them to the mountaintop called Mount Carmel. And he says, and we're going to have a challenge. We're going to have a clash of kingdoms. We're going to have a fight of all fights. To get them to put out their sacrifices and call on their God. And if their God answers them with fire, well then let that God be God. But if my God answers with fire, read it all there in 1 Kings. And needless to say, if false prophets call upon their gods, and Elijah is being sarcastic and says, have they gone out? Can they not hear you? They start slashing themselves with stone and pouring out blood just to appease the false gods. No answer. And Elijah steps up and he calls on heaven. And he says, God, do what you told me you were going to do. And fire came from heaven. And it says all of the people realized that God was God. The God that Elijah worshipped. Yahweh. Jehovah was God. And they all fell down and worshipped God. What a tremendous victory that Elijah had that day. Now, in verse 41 of chapter 18, all of that had happened as I described. And you can read the details. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is sound of heavy rain. Remember, there was no rain. Remember, it was famine for years and years. And he says to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. His servant went up and looked and came back and says, there's nothing there. Elijah says, go up again. 7 times Elijah says, go back and see, go back and see, go back and see. There's nothing there, go back and see. The 7th time the servant came back reporting, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah says, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind arose. It sounded a bit like yesterday, didn't it? The wind rose. A heavy rain came. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. And he tucked his cloak into his belt. And he outran Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Here is the prophet of God. After seeing God's provision, his prosperity, he had seen the power of God already, the ravens, the miracle of the oil and the bread. He'd seen the people of God torn away from God. They were on empty, maxed out on empty. They didn't know what it was like to run with God anymore because they were running after other gods. From a lack of leadership in Ahab, he had allowed Jezebel to rule the roost. And the nation was brought into direct conflict with the living God. Ahab and Elijah is up on the mountaintop, or up on the mountain. And Elijah says to Ahab, you go and eat and drink. I read it out there. You go and eat and drink. And Ahab went and ate and drink. Elijah gets on his knees, bows down before God, and he's praying for the rains to come. I was wondering who was really on empty. The one that was going to eat and drink, or the one that was going to get before God? Who was the one that was running on what God has us to run on? You go and eat. You go and drink. You go and look after number one. You go and make sure you're all right, Ahab. And Ahab gladly done it. I'm convinced of this, that we have an opportunity to stand in either camp, either Ahab or Elijah. I encourage us to stand in the camp of Elijah. What did Elijah do? He got down on his knees. He prayed. No, Lord, I'm not going to settle that there's no rain in the land. I'm not going to settle for people dying around me. I'm not going to settle because, Lord, you told me that when I speak, there's going to be rain. So he got down and he prayed. And he prayed believing. He persevered. He sent the servant up. Go up. God is going to do it. He goes up. He doesn't see anything. He's looking out. There's nothing out there. There's nothing going to happen. There's no breakthrough. God is going to let us down. God is not going to come through. And he comes back and he says to the prophet, no, there's nothing happening. Go back up. Go back up. He goes up. There's nothing happening. I'm not going to be free from drugs. I'm not going to be free from my addiction. I'm not going to see my children reared. I'm not going to reach my potential. Go back up. Don't come down. Stay down. Get back up. Imagine Elijah, get up there. See, believe in prayer. It's like, I tell you what, God will break through for you. And if it doesn't look like an elk, back up. And if you slip tomorrow or fall tomorrow or get it wrong tomorrow, go back up to the mountaintop. Because God does what he says he will do. Go back up, persevere. Ahab, eating. Looking after himself. He was the leader of the country. He was the one that should have been standing, believing. Ahab looking after number one. Elijah saying, oh, I'm going to bring revival to our country. I'm going to see people come to know a loving, kind, generous, compassionate, slow to anger God. I'm going to see people, their country, come into their full potential. I'm going to bow down until I see. I'm going to send the servants all the way up. See, I want us to be a group of people that stands in Elijah's place. I'm going to believe for my family. Oh, they're dying. I'm going to believe for my family. Oh, they're not coming to know the Lord. I'm going to believe for my sister. No, but she's not coming. Keep going up. Keep bowing down. I'll never break out of this. You will break out of this. But keep on going till you see the little signs. He went up one time and he said, Elijah, it's happening. Elijah, does a cloud the size of a man's fist? That's all you need. That's all you need for the rains to come. Because it grew and it grew and it grew. When I look at this place, I remember sitting in the flat with Sharon and Margaret Marr, and us praying for this. And I look around and Stephen always says, and oh, no, you didn't know me. I was included in your prayers. That God would grow. And then we went to Rialto. And we used to sit on the old wonky chairs. Remember, three-legged chairs we had. We were talking about it last night. We loved it at the time, but when we look back now, we had all these sofas like strewn across the back of an office where we had church. We'd get up and get the sound system down out of an attic. We'd have to take down pictures and hang them back up afterwards. We'd pull up like it was a handful of us, and we'd pull up 100 chairs from downstairs, drag them up the stairs, pack them out. No one sitting on them, only a handful of us. And then we outgrew that place. And then we said, we're going to find another place. And I looked at 12 buildings. I'd knock at doors. Can you sell me a building? I hadn't got a bean to my name. I went to the old ice rink up in Dolphin's Barn. I said to the people that owned it, and it was supposed to be a front for something else. I didn't care. I went in. I met the bouncer. Who I know. I says, who do I need to speak to? I want to buy the ice rink. Truth. The ice rink went on fire. Someone rang me. I says, praise God. There'll be another 100 grand off it. Truth. The door closed. I knocked at another door. The old snooker hall in Rialto. I sent in letters. I sent in a bid. I'm with other people doing this. People here. Well, I can't keep saying. I'm speaking in, you know what I mean. That means me, it's us. But anyway, sent her in. The solicitor says, do you want to put who you are and what you're doing on it? What I want as a church. I want as a lighthouse. I seen in the home group a couple of us. Then I seen in Rialto and the crowd was getting bigger. And the crowd, we had to provide the place for the rain to come into. And there was a handful of us and we went and says, yeah, or tell them we want to buy it. Windsor Motors owned the building. So we tried to make bids for Windsor Motors in Dalton's Barn. We made inquiries. We went in. I looked around. I was going to build a bowling alley out the back for the youth of the flats. That was my goal. No money went in. We sent the letter in. The guy that owned it was a Muslim guy. He didn't want to sell it to a Christian guy. Knocked out another door. Lord, I'll keep knocking. I'll keep going up. 12 buildings, and I'm going to go around and take pictures of them. Only that the ice rink is knocked down now. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking till you get your breakthrough. Keep believing that God is good and is on your side till you get your breakthrough. When no one else sees you, when the doors get closed in your face, no, get down. God, you're good. God, you've given me a vision. God, you want to reach people. You love people. I'm going to keep on knocking till I get it, till I get my freedom, till I get my mind back, till I get my body back, till I get my people back. I'm going to keep knocking till I get it. Go back up. Elijah, I'm wrecked. Get back up. And I tell you, there's a bit of an Irish man in him. He'd go, get back up. Don't you dare come back down here again. Amen.
Amen.
The other guy, Wheelie, you pray. The other Ahab, yeah, we'll you do all the work. We'll just sit. I want to be in this one. Go up again. Sit down and do nothing. Give off your finances to see the cloud come. I'm going to eat all my money. Well, let everyone else serve because I'm sitting down eating. I want to be on this one. I want to be there. I want to be one of the ones that says, I've seen the cloud. I was waiting on the cloud, believing for the cloud. I'm one of the ones that actually was calling, cloud, come on. Rains, come on. I want to be one of the ones that is in the prayer meeting of a Sunday, of a Thursday night that's saying, I was there. I remember hearing someone praying that prayer, and now I've seen it happen. I want to watch EastEnders. I want to see the Champions League. Lord, give us Ireland. Come on, Ronaldo. Are you with me? Here's one that happened to us tonight. God, give us the youth of our country. God, give us the youth of our city. We pray for your grandkids, you we. We pray for your youth. You know, no, we pray, you eat. We'll do the work. We'll pay the tithes and offerings. But you get all the benefit. I want to be here. I want you to be here. You know, I'll go and do all that. You know, the little things. It's the little things. I remember years ago when I first became a Christian, Ireland was in, remember they got into the, it wasn't the Champions, it wasn't the European, the next one was the World Cup, 1990, was it? Were they in the World Cup? And I love football, man. Guys, I'm afraid of you. When I seen all you standing up to them, I'm like, I'm not playing against them. I love football. Played at home. I'm still playing. 42 years of age. Still running around after those younglings. Can't kick them anymore because I'm a pastor. I'm only joking. I still kick. But love it. Played football all my life. In the flats. We used to get sick and we'd be better in an hour. Because we'd hear all our friends playing football. Man, better now. No, you were sick a minute ago. No, man, better. I was hearing someone with a ball. I'm 8 hours a day back in them days. You played football in the flats. Headers and volleys. And love it. Became a Christian. I knew those things I wanted to do. My friend says, come on to church. No, you'll never be the same if you come to church. I'd give my life at a meeting. Come on to church. Can't. I play football of a Sunday. He says to me, Noel, I want to tell you, you give anything for God, and God will give you back much more in return. I didn't believe him. How did I believe him? I was only a Christian a week. I went down and played football, twisted my ankle. Couldn't play the following week. So I went into church. I've never left. 20 years later, he sent me up the front to St. Mark's. I've never left the front. Don't settle for the back when you can have the front. Don't settle for being last when you can be first. Why? And here's my goal in it. If Anthony is going to come off anointing off of these guys leading the worship, I want the first. If the pastor's going to be anointed when he's preaching, if someone's going to be anointed when they're sharing, I want the force. I spits and all, I don't care. I want it all. But I'm going to make my point. My friend says, Ireland was playing. We had a prayer meeting. Me. Can I reach one foot in Dalton's Barn and the other one into St. Mark's? Simple decision. Simple, easy peasy. Nothing to do with God. God wouldn't have frowned on me one way or another. She says, I want to pray. I wasn't holier than anyone. I wanted to pray. And as we were praying, we were listening for the shouts in the pub. Because we'd know by the shouts whether Ireland won or not. I can't say we done a whole lot of really good praying that night, but we done a whole lot of listening. I tell you guys, I'm here because I was there. I know it. My friend came up on a push bike. We only had push bikes back then. Came up. No, you're coming to watch the match. No, I was doing that. That's not even a push bike. He's coming to watch. He said, I'll give you a crossbar. Truth. I says, Mick, I'm going to the prayer meet. I love football as much as you. He says, I need to be there. I tell you guys, I'm here because I was here. God wouldn't have not blessed me if I would have gone there. Nothing to do with that. Little things, little clouds. I'm going to see them. Moving away from Ahab. Moving away from eating. I tell you what eaters in the church do. Eaters fall asleep. Do you ever get a good food, good feed? They're like, where's my pillow? You know when they say in the restaurant sometimes, can I help you, sure? Or you always say, can I have a duvet and a pillow, please? Because that was so good food, I'm going to sleep. You see, when we're just eaters in the church, we go asleep. We go asleep upstairs. Basil was telling me his little daughter, when we were praying up before the meeting, he was standing with his eyes closed and his little daughter says, Daddy, no sleep. What's he say? You eat, you sleep. And you know what our Father in heaven saying, guys, no sleep. A sleep in church doesn't win a world. A sleep in church doesn't reach its potential. A sleep in church never looks out and sees clouds. And everything that we're getting fed, guys, listen to me. I'm on my God channel rant again. Everything that we get fed, prosper. It's all about you. You can be a better person. It's all about you. I don't hear them say, pray fast. I don't hear them say, put sackcloth and ashes on. I don't hear them say, bow down and pray for your country. But it all seems to be, come on over on this. Come on and do this. You will be better. You will. And it's, I'm not saying that's all wrong. But not at the expense of this. Because we never see the cloud. Moving on. Listen to what the kingdom of God, listen to what the scripture says. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let me read it again. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God, it's not a matter of eating and just drinking and looking after number one, but it's of righteousness, living for God, peace of mind, peace of heart, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Do you know who the world points the finger at? The eating church. They're judgmental because we're sitting. Give us a bowl of stew and I'll judge us all. Feed me. And I'll call every other ministry are doing no good other than mine. But those who are over here, Father, bless Lifeline. Bless Phil, Michelle, bless Eddie, Vicky, bless Teen Challenge. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hebrew says, therefore, since we have received this kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God with reverence and awe. For God is our consuming fire. He was saying that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's an unshakable kingdom. It's a powerful kingdom. And you don't get a powerful kingdom from self-consumption. You get it from getting on your knees before God and saying, God, help me. Give me something of the Holy Spirit that I need to make it true, even just this day. Amen. Running on empty. What's the gauges on our lives? You don't watch the gauges, you run down on empty. And I tell you, what seems to make us full actually brings us to empty. what seems to fill us up ends up emptying us of our spiritual well-being, of our spiritual life, of our intimacy with God. Oh no, but he said, if I do this, this and this, I'll get this. Listen, the Bible says if you pray, he'll answer you. He says, give me your money and you get your answered prayer. The Bible says pray, and if you need money, God will answer. It's amazing. We're being twisted in some way. So Elijah gets on. I've 10 minutes left. Get into the Elijah camp. You'll enjoy your food better. Elijah, the rain's coming. He goes to Ahab. Get in your chariot now. And go down to, Jezreel. And the power of God comes upon Elijah. He tucks up his tunic. And he starts to run. Oh, see, you get power from God to run the race when you're this. The other fellow needed a load of horses to get him to his destination. He needed others to just carry him. What will he do when the chariot is not there? He would have been swept over by the rain. But with this guy, he was over here and he's like, Lord, I need your power to get to my destination, to reach my destination. The Spirit of God comes upon him. He starts legging it. And Ahab, see it. He outrun the chariots. He outrun the horses. He outrun. And there's a time when we walk with the foot soldiers. But there's a time when we outrun even the chariots. And my friend says to me when I became a Christian, he made this statement. And this is for us all. It was the most horrifying thing he ever said. Terrifying thing. He says this at a meeting. Some of you are not going to make it. You know, immediately we all thought, is it me? Not make it to heaven if you're a Christian. That's done. It's signed, sealed and delivered. What Jesus done on the cross. He says, you're not going to reach your potential. He didn't use these words, we're all using this morning, because some of us are going to settle for this self-consumption. And I tell you, we terrified us. You know what? May I just get down and bow down and say, God, I don't want it to be me. God, I'm refusing it to be me. I'm going to stick close to you, Lord. I'm going to be on my knees in the morning time. I tell you, at that time when that was said, the floor seemed more to my knees than my wife did. And that's the truth. I was on them, Lord. I want to know you so that I'm not one of the ones that doesn't fulfill the potential. Make a decision today. I'm going to be one of the ones. I'm going to stick with him. I'm going to stick close to him because I don't want to be one of the ones that walk out of a rehab. I want to be one of the ones that walk out on my family. I don't want to be one of the ones that gives up. I don't want to be one of the ones that, I want to be one of the ones that sticks, perseveres, that keeps going up to the mountain and seeing and waiting on the cloud because it will come. And he gets up and he runs. And he runs with vision. And he outruns. He knows he runs with, who have vision, run faster than anyone else. I'm going to reach the people. Nothing yet, but I'm going to keep running. I'm going to reach the flats. Nothing come. I'm going to reach Dublin. I'm going to reach the north side. I'm going to reach my family. I don't see it, but I'm going to keep on running. And he outruns. Vision is powerful. Vision is powerful. That's why vision is the most attractive thing in this world. It makes you reach higher, climb higher, run harder, work harder. Vision is incredible. The vision of God for our lives is incredible. It motivates people to attempt things that no one else has ever attempted. The Wright brothers work on the fly. The motivation of vision is incredible. Work on the fly. The motivation behind the cafe, we're going to reach those young people. We're going to reach them. The motivation of vision is to climb higher mountains, go to the depths of sea, go to the space and see what's up on the mountains. Up on the planets. Run with vision. Don't get caught up with it's just my little vision. Your vision is part of the big vision. It's to advance the kingdom of God. It's to help the church reach its vision. If you're part of this church, and I welcome you with all my heart, I prayed for you before you even knew me. But your role is to help fulfill the vision of the church. And the vision of this church is to reach people. I remember my friend says to me, Noel, What type of people do you want to reach? Huh? I didn't know there was a types. I know what he meant. Because when you're church planting, there used to be these seminars, go after a particular genre. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. But my Bible says that God loves the world. That whoever believes in him, the rich, the famous, the infamous, the broken, the children, the youth. I says, I'm going after everybody. I'm going after them all. I want every one of them. I want the ministry to every single people group in the world. And I dug out, I made this little thing up, and the Lord reminded me of it this morning. And I went to my old computer, hoping it was still there. I said to him that day, I says, I want an A to Z ministry to different people. And I wrote them down. Do you want to hear them? This is the vision. So going with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. A is a ministry to the addicted, the academics, and the abused. B is a ministry to the broken, the bruised, and the bemused. C is a ministry to the cursed, the communities, and the condemned. D is a ministry to the disabled, the dysfunction, and the diseased. E, a ministry to the educated, the Europeans, and the emptied. F, a ministry to foreign nationals, people on the fringe, the forgotten people. G, a ministry to the government, the gangsters, and the guilty. Someone says they all gone one. Anyway, H is a ministry to the homeless, the hapless, and the hungry. I, a ministry to Islam, the isolated, and the influential. J, a ministry to the jobless, the joyless, and the Joneses. K, a ministry to the kids, the kidnappers, and the carry men. L, a ministry to the ladies, the laddies, and the lasses. M, a ministry to the money men, the meanie men, and the meanie money men. N, a ministry to the nobodies, to the nations, and to the nobles. O, a ministry to the old folk, the odd folk, and the OTT folk. P, a ministry to the politicians, the police force, and the prisoners. Q, a ministry to the quitters of life's dreams, and the quenchers of dreams, and the qualified to dream. R, a ministry to different races, the rich, the robbers. S, a ministry to the sexually confused, sexually broken, the suicidal. T, a ministry to travelers, tea makers, and teetotalers. U, a ministry to the uneducated, the unattractive, and the unapproachable. Amen. V, a ministry to the victims, the villains, the victors. W, a ministry to the wannabes, the wish-I-could-bes, and the wishy-washy-bes. X, a ministry to ex-husbands, ex-fellas, ex-prisoners, ex-boyfriends, ex-judges, the extra-large. Y, a ministry to the youth, the yobs, the yoga experts. And Z, a ministry to the people of Zion, the zealots, and the zany zookeepers. Amen. Amen. This is the dream that we're asking you to buy into. That's all of our people. That's our people. That's our brothers and sisters.